Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. Now, I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. And let's give homage to the maker of the universe. John Coltrane, dear Lord, lead us into a prayer to the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We ask you that you have your way. We thank you for the things given to us unseen. And thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us while we walk, sleep, and dream. We thank you from the bottom of my heart. And we say, dear Lord, we love you and we'll always trust in God. Two different spin on the prayer today, but still giving homage to the one and only true master, asking him to give us his mercy and grace and the little things we so largely take for granted. A little different movie today. We're going to talk to the sports, but got some other ideas, you know, going to do, probably later on tonight, going to bring you back. People ask, Doc, when are you going to do your Did You Know segment? So I'm going to come back with that with you probably late tonight, try to catch you before the midnight hour. So stay tuned. That'll be coming back in. We'll be doing that for you. And I just got the, oh, somebody's on the phone. I bet it's Rooney. Hello?
Hey, good doctor. How are you?
There he is. What's up, Rooney?
Hey, I'm coming along okay. Can you hear me, Doc?
I hear you, Ronnie. I hear you. Go ahead. You okay?
Hey, Doc, you know I've been following that curious case of a Kurt Flood documentary for a while now. They've been playing it all week.
They finally kind of softened you up a little bit. You was adamant on some stands there. Yeah, it's been running well. Go ahead, Ronnie. Give me some thoughts on that.
No, Doc, I was just going to say that all in all, you know, his efforts, they wound up getting it through, I believe it was, collective bargaining agreement. My thing was that, and I still say this, Doc, that guy, you know, I was just wanting to get your impression, Doc, that the guy made a hell of a sacrifice for a guy that knew that he wasn't going to be the beneficiary of what he was trying to get. He knew that
this is a point that I'm glad you brought up, because it's the mindset of African Americans when they make a move from a civil rights standpoint of view. It's not looking for filtration for yourself as you're looking for the benefits that it will have for others. Service to others is the rent you pay for your space on earth. Muhammad Ali, life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. Martin Luther King. Greater love have no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the Bible. And you understand the mindset of Kurt Flood, you know, and the mindset of African Americans. I mean, I've said this redundantly, you know, every minority in this country owes African Americans, because the civil rights benefits that they have begotten were gotten to them by African Americans, and they had nothing to do with the getting. Once again, not hosed down, not shot, not bombed, not raped, not whipped, not lynched. I mean, there are some of our Jewish sisters and brothers that did pertain in that, as we had some of our Caucasian sisters and brothers, but the overall complexion of that was dark, black, and the African-American has brought so many benefits to people who've come to this country and reaped the benefits, and one, have not any acknowledgement. Two, not any shown any sort of appreciation. And three, exactly if they just happen to be here. And Flood, as you remember in the documentary, in the early inception of his outstanding career, spoke at a rally, at an affair with Jackie Robinson on civil rights, who was his idol, Jack Roosevelt Robinson, okay? And so you look back at this guy's mindset, and we can be redundant and go over it again. Marvin Miller told him from the jump, this ain't going to work. Now you, and, I mean, he understood three things, okay? He was in this alone. He was in this alone. Was not going to see anything monetarily or anything for himself, okay? And the fact that, quite frankly, he knew, too, that his baseball career was over, okay? He knew it was over. And now, what I would know, I bet you it's Dusty. You got it. Hello, Dusty?
You got it, Doc. You track me down like Frank Buck, bring him back alive. Here I am.
Track it down. You know, we're Doc Stanley Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports In Depth is the show. One more time for you. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports In Depth is the show. I know you followed it too, Dusty, and Rooney keeps talking
about...
Hey, how
you doing, Dusty? I got to say hi to Dusty. Hey, one of my guys... You got one
What's
of my guys
on?
Up in there now, Doc.
Hey, fellas, cut the chatter and wait till you spoke, all right? Okay? Right, the boy. Hey, Rooney, I'm looking over here. Hey, Rooney, he's got some green tights on and a mask, too, tonight.
Doc, who is me and Rooney? Green and yellow tights.
The WWF lives, baby. As long as Rooney's on the line, the WWF lives. Dusty,
go ahead.
We're going on, and you seen the Kirk thing, and three things he understood, Dusty. He was in this by himself. There was going to be no benefits for him, and his baseball career was over, Dusty.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you met because we reserved that. We didn't discuss it in depth after I saw it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I could understand, Doc, if you mind me elaborating here. You know how I am.
Yeah. We'll watch you, baby.
The curious case of Curt Flood, yes, it was curious. Because he gave up everything.
Yep.
But he didn't maintain himself in a mental or health, position? Because he was a drunk. And when he came back, he just and then he did a Serpico. He escaped to the hinterlands, and to me that sort of showed me maybe a little bit of his mental instability, as in fighting a monumental cause which was just.
You're surprised. That he survived? You surprised he didn't kill himself? You surprised that his life continued on after that?
Right. Because if you're going to make comparisons, Doc, maybe you don't. Mm-hmm. None of you would agree with me. Mm-hmm. Muhammad Ali lost 3 years of his boxing life.
In his prime, Dust.
Mm-hmm. And he... Huh? What did you say?
I said three years of a heavyweight's prime.
Right, in his prime.
Prime
years. He fought. He didn't resort to drugs. He didn't resort to... In fact, I heard how true they were. I don't know. But in those 3 years of isolation, Ali was still training. He was still keeping himself in condition because he knew eventually he was going to get back.
Wow.
And this is what I say, the curious case of Flood. Yeah, he just got away from baseball totally. Got into booze, escaped to Spain, escaped to Switzerland. I mean, he did all these escapisms instead of keeping himself because you saw the segment when Ted Williams brought him back to the Washington Senators.
He
was so far out of shape and boozed out that he had a batting average of 194, and embarrassingly, he paid him good money, but he had to bench him in favor of rookies. And this is not the Curt Flood that he hired to play with the Washington Senators. He had to bench this man in the first week of the season the first month or whatever. I'm saying now.
Hey, Dusty, 194. It'll put you on the bench, Dusty.
Yeah, but
this is a man who was brought back to lead the Senators to the World Series or the playoffs, boost the club, and he was dragging it down. And that now I understand full-blooded why it's a curious case of Curt Flood. And, you know, it's sad. Yes, it was sad. But I think the man, I'm not talking about the baseball side, but the man personally did himself more harm than anything else. And maybe loaned in to the destruction of his baseball career.
Well, but you know, it's a funny thing. As destructive as he was to a degree to himself, but
Man had a nervous breakdown, Doc. I think the guy had a nervous breakdown, man, from all the pressure and the
bills. No question about it. But still being able to maintain the position that was just so advantageous to not only baseball but to sports in general. I mean, it's amazing that we look at this other side of him. You know, it's like you don't see what's going on in the house. So he comes out the house. He's got the tuxedo on.
Somebody's on the phone on Little Island.
And he was able to...
Can I make a comparison, Doc?
Go ahead.
Jackie Robinson went through hell and damnation, okay? And he survived. He fought. I mean, you know, when you're going to get spiked and when you're booed and when you call all sorts of names.
Let's go back. But could that be... And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned... You mentioned two names that were pivotal in Curt's career, and two names that he's synonymous with. I mean, Ali taking that stand, Jackie Robinson being the first to do it. The thing with Jackie, too, that was advantageous with Jackie, though, is that Jackie had a two-year window, 47 to 49. After 49, Jackie was kind of free to be Jackie Robinson again. Curt Flood never had that opportunity, Dusty.
Yes, he never had that opportunity, but it seems that he was partially responsible taking that opportunity from himself.
Well, you're hitting right on the head. I mean, and when the bad times came, the bad side became more obvious.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's
what I came off from the Curt Flood thing. I'm saying, well, damn, you're your own worst enemy, man. But the powers that be, if you're going to break down percentages, although they were 99 against one, which was Curt Flood, he fed into that 99 against Curt Flood. That's the way I looked at it. But
let me bounce something off that for a quick second, Doc. You know,
Dusty and Rooney, just don't move. Don't say a word yet. Let's do this real quick. Come on back.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is a channel. Sports in Depth is a show. The segment calling the doctor, Little Mel Coco Rooney, called in. Dusty tagged him because we see him. They look good in them tights. And we're talking about the curious case of Curt Flood. We're going to move him something else. But right now, Rooney, bounce it off, Rooney. What we got?
Well, Doc, I had told Doc, and Doc always says, and obviously with this man, it really wasn't. And in his case, Curt's case, it just wasn't about the money. It was about the principle. And, you know, he showed it. He didn't just talk it, but he walked it. But,
right.
As I told Doc, with all due respect to Curt and the stand that he took, that's a black man in this country making $100 in the 60s, that was a lot of coin.
Hey, Rooney can't let that go.
That's a lot of coin. Man. Oh, that's cute, yeah.
Hey, listen, $100,000 now ain't nothing to sneeze at.
Exactly.
Okay, Rooney? I mean, put that in perspective. I was telling him, Dusty, us guys in the military back in those days, I remember my first year, I made $3,000 the whole year.
Would you believe when I tell you when I was in the military, it was 11 cents an hour? Would you guys believe that if I tell you that? 11 cents an hour.
We're not talking about the Roman army, Dusty. We're talking about here. We're not about...
Hey, Doc, you and Dust make that 100 log that is making seem larger and larger.
It dovetails the great words from the legendary Marion B. Boykin, black, bodacious, brilliant, and a brook. You're right. I mean, but at the same time, it also puts into perspective his dedication, his zeal, and you always asked about, you know, what was his the things that brought him frustration and glee afterwards, and his lovely wife said she'd be sitting around the house, and he'd go, oh, wow, beautiful. And somebody had just signed a 4 or 5 year multi-year deal off of the heels of what he had done from that standpoint of the free agency. Rooney, now you know, because Dusty, Rooney's getting a little political here now, and this is why I brought it, because, you know, Rooney was a little uproared, and all right, Rooney, we're going to let you start it. Obama, talk to us.
Doc, I'm so ticked off. Thank you, Doc, for letting me vent a little bit.
Doc, you have the whole program, Rooney.
Oh, I'm just beside myself with all of these. All of a sudden, I'm going to start off, and like I said, politically correct be damned. When George Bush was starting wars all over the damn place and it was spending $1 billion a damn week, the Republicans didn't say boo, didn't say a damn thing about the wars, didn't say a damn thing about the missing $12 billion that's floating around Iraq some damn place. Don't even mention that now. Oh, the dude raised the debt ceiling 9 or 10 high times during his presidency, okay? At least 9 times that I know of, all right? Now, all of a sudden, that Obama's the president, we can't raise the debt ceiling not once. We have to have a balanced budget, we're $3 million in the hole. We can't have that. We have to cut Social Security. We have to cut Medicare and Medicaid, the big three. Where the hell was all this concern about the damn debt when George Bush was in the damn office? Where the hell was the concern?
There was no concern. It was the old homeboys network doing what they damn well felt like doing. You know, and then you got all these jackasses coming out of nowhere. In fact, calling Obama anti-American. I mean, this new so-called lady candidate for the president, Michelle Bachmann, she literally called our president anti-American. Oh my lord!
Michelle Bachmann, another one of those Tea Party cultists, as I call them. I don't call them Tea Party party. I call them Tea Party cultists. You know something, Dusty? I have to say this, and Doc, pardon me for going off. I'll be quiet after this.
Racism, pure and simple.
They are determined not to let this president get anything accomplished during their term. Where the hell does that term all of a sudden take back our country? What the hell does that mean?
Yep, it was never mentioned during Bush. It was never mentioned during all them suckers. And the other genius in a bottle, Palin, this is, well, Obama is only a one-term president, and we're going to make sure that he's out. I mean,
Doc and Dust, from the time he took the oath of office, they were determined to try to make him a one-term president. Like you said, Bachmann, Palin, all these simpletons, Limbaugh, Hannity, all these racists, were determined to try to make this guy's presidency and his life miserable from the time he took over office.
Well, you know, like, I sent you that email, Doc, where are Obama's girlfriends? Did you get that article I sent you? Doc, you there? Hello?
He must have stepped away for a moment, but go ahead, Doc.
But there's an email that was sent to me. And I don't know, I mean, I have international email, I guess that's what they said. They said, well, where are Obama's girlfriends? And he never talked about his social life, he never did this, and who did he go out with, and how did he meet Michelle Obama, and what was the magnetism? And this particular woman, Rona Fred, whatever her name is, man, she keeps sending this garbage. Attacking the man's life because he never talks about his past relationships, because he never talked about how he hanged out or who was his buddies or who was the groom in his wedding. I mean, who was the best man at his wedding? Who was the groom man? And who? What is this?
It goes crazy. Dusty, hold on a second. Hold on, Dusty. We got another call here. Is this Michael Bellamy from the Bellamy Boxing Report?
Hey,
yeah,
Doc.
Mike.
How you doing? How's everybody?
Okay, Mike. Okay, we got Dusty, and we also have Mel Smith Jr. Mike, Dusty just alluded me earlier. It's a given. It's them. Cotto and Margarito at Madison Square Garden. Mike, your reaction?
December 3rd.
Mike, your reaction?
I'm going to go with Cotto.
You like Cotto on that one, huh? Wow.
Hey, good to have you, Mike. I think I'll be there at the Garden, Doctor.
Me too.
Now, here's the question, gentlemen. We've got a good 10 minutes, and we're going to get back. And just real quickly.
I'm walking down
you,
the street, Doc, so I only got about a couple of minutes. Well, go ahead.
Okay. Well, real quickly, Mike, you know, in lieu of the big thing with the wraps in the hand, do you feel, one, are you surprised that this fight was made? I guess you're not really for the way. Do you feel Cotto still should be in the game in lieu of the big incident?
You need Margarito.
I'm sorry. Yeah, come for me, so you're Margarito. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? God give people another chance. I mean, if he does it again, then, you know, then they should get rid of him. But I believe in second chances. You can't ban someone totally. But, you know, he got caught, and he's given another chance.
It's funny you say that because I remember talking to Jorge Posada, my good buddy, big boxing fan, him and Joe Torre, and he said the same thing too, you know. And yeah, forgiveness is not the case, I'll act with a permanent state of mind. Mike, real quickly now, let's give you the details, baby. You know, B-Cap Sports, give us the title, baby. What shows, what time are you on?
Show is called In the Zone. We're on channels 56 and 69. 56 on Cablevision, 69 on Time Warner. And if you got files, we're on channel 44 throughout the city.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know you got to go. Thanks a lot for joining us, and we'll have you on this this weekend with us, buddy.
All right, Doc. Later, y'all.
Thanks, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Thanks,
Mike.
Great.
Dusty, I guess that's the merit to that. You know, he's back again. You got to forgive him.
Now Reverend Ike Doc is pontificating. We got to forgive him.
No, Doc, I forgive him, but he can't fight no more. I got no problem with that.
I was only seeing you from Sunday, but the fact is, I don't have any problem with the fact that he did he's back fighting, because the fact, like I said, like I tried to describe it Sunday, and we started the debate, is the fact that the first part of the three crime series was caught. He was caught trying to cheat. Mm-hmm. If he hadn't been caught, well, then the second crime would have occurred. Poor Shea Mosley. Maybe it would have been a career-ending beating. And maybe, like Billy Collins, it would have been a death for Shea Mosley. So he was caught. They adjudicated that this was a severe punishment for being caught the first time and cheating.
Okay, I got it. He paid the penalty. We still got Mike here. Mike, you still there with us? Mike?
I think you had to go, Doc.
Oh, I see his phone. Yeah. I thought he was with us because he went to that press conference.
Hey, Doc,
yesterday.
Can I make a quick chirp in on that?
Doc's
not going to like me saying this, but I have to say, you know, Doc, if both of them still have something left and everything's on up and up, this could be fight of the year.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Hey, Rooney, could you say it one more time?
Both of them have a little something left in the tank, and everything is on the up and up with the gloves and the hands.
Well, I tell you what, as far as skills, they are both at the same level of their career. If you put them on a number from 1 to 10, they're both sixes now, but I mean, one is not superior than the other, Dusty.
Well, I beg to slightly differ, because you got the rebirth of Cotto under the tutelage of Emmanuel Stewart.
All right,
If you saw Cotto in the last two fights, forget Yuri Furman, but look at him with Mayorga. And the man...
Fundamentals, the basics.
And then listening to Emmanuel Stewart said, don't let him sidetrack you. Stay behind the way we practice. Stay behind your jabs. And this is the same way, Doc, that he talks to the Klitschko's.
Mm-hmm.
And Miguel Cotto, despite all the bravado and the clowning and the bomb being thrown by Mayorga and him, and he wanted to retaliate in the same fashion, he stayed with his calm, disciplined way from Emmanuel Stewart. And what happens? He threw a perfect left hook in the 11th round or something, and that's how he beat him.
Well, you know, it's amazing you talk about that. It's not amazing because you're gifted in sport and knowledge. Because in talking to him, the two things he said, Emmanuel in his corner has allowed him to enjoy and love boxing again.
There you
two,
go.
The Margarito fight, that's out the window. That's the way, you know, that's history, that's out the window. And you know, it just says a lot about him and a person as a fighter. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. Let's get back to you guys. You know, we're talking about Obama, and I was telling Rooney.
Look, can I finish the thought on Margarito?
Give me a minute.
Like I told you just this afternoon, how he, the coward that he is and the cheater that he is, goes on Spanish press,
uh-huh.
and he says Puerto Rican fighters don't have the heart to fight. So does he feel
you had
invincible
to get that
because
in, didn't
he
that?
Beat?
You had to get that in, didn't you?
That's right. I had to get it in because, man, I mean, hook, line, and sinker, I want Porto to kill him.
And Doc, good job, Dustin. Doc, let me say this before we go.
So much for forgiveness on certain things here.
Well, true, point well taken. Doc, you know, I haven't done a little boxing, obviously. I haven't reached the heights of a Dusty in the championship level, but having done enough boxing to know and a hell of a lot of wrestling, Doc, I'm here to tell you, Cotto wants this badly, Doc.
He wants this
rumble, he wants this victory.
I'm going to tell you something. We got 3 minutes left. I always thought Margarito had the tools to beat him, cheating or not. So Dusty had a big thing here now. Emmanuel Stewart has turned his whole thing around. It's a whole different ballgame. Gentlemen,
we're talking
about our president. We've got 3 minutes left.
Yeah, let's go back.
You know, here's a guy who had the highest amount of death threats in the history of a president and the highest security measures for a president. We got 3 minutes. Will America put him back in office, Dusty?
If every person of color, and please record this, if every person of color sticks behind the president and don't go off to the other camps for whatever residuals or little profits, we could put him in. We could put him back in with votes left over. That's the deal. Forget going to campaign for Joe Blow and Michelle Brockman and the Palins and the Phelans and the Malins. Stick with Obama, people of color. And this man will win by a bigger landslide than he won the last time.
Louis, you feel the same way?
Not only do I feel the same way, Doc, but I would sure like to see what would happen if he were to get reelected, not having to worry about running again, and really be able to do his thing.
Exactly.
And really be able to do his thing, not having to worry about getting reelected again, not having to worry about this or worry about that.
The point you bring is right on the money because the second term, you're right, Rooney, will be his turn, you know, because right. But you know what? For the mess that Bush left, he probably needs a third term. Gentlemen, it is always special and unique to have my panel here. We're going to close this segment. We'll definitely be back maybe later tonight or on, but just thank you so much for being with us. Destino, baby, Lois. And
yes, sir.
Rooney, fans, you are the boy that Rooney's got them green tights on with that mask on and Dusty with the red mask. You guys are skipping the rope.
Dear
Lord, thank you.
Really, thank you. God bless
you. Larry Hardesty, you can come on if you want, man. Larry, talk to Larry.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Okay, just see you later. Dusty, put that knife down, baby. Margarito's no place in sight.
No, I'm sharpening it and putting arsenic in it. sharp, and man, I'm telling you, Oz, I think it's going to be alive and well.
Well,
take
know what?
Care. God bless.
I said, the good thing about this is, you know, the Garden gets another big fight again, finally. That's good.
Exactly.
And it'll be packed.
Filled. And let me tell you, this is going to be a sellout, guaranteed.
It is.
They're
going to do very good numbers for that, Dust. You're right,
listen,
very good numbers.
The biggest thing is they're going to have to check for weapons.
Me especially. But they're building up it as the revenge, la revancha.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Keep that in mind. The
press conference is going to be great because Margarita's going to be on the spot.
Yeah,
and
I'll be there with my knife.
Oh, that's you and Coco in the tights. Boys, we got to go. Talk to you later.
Later. God bless.
Take it easy, gentlemen. A pleasure as always.
Thanks,
okay,
buddy.
Take care.
Hold on now.